parasha, parashas mishpatim. A lot of Torah on this week's parasha. A lot of mitzvahs. Let's begin this week. I want to talk about. We'll see what we'll do. But let's first start talking about basa b'chalav. Le'sevashel gedi b'chalav imo. In this week's parasha, we have a mitzvah d'raisa. You're not allowed to eat basar b'chalav. Le'sevashel gedi b'chalav imo. It says in the Torah three times. Number one, it's usher to eat. It's also to cook, and it's also to have pleasure. You're not allowed to be in the business. You're not allowed to own a Burger King or a McDonald's and have pleasure from basar b'chalav. Now, in addition to the prohibition of eating basar b'chalav together, mamish, we know that there are many, many chazal have enacted many harchokos in order to prevent us from eating basar b'chalav that has been cooked together. By the way, the prohibition is only to eat basar b'chalav that has been cooked together. It's not so easy to violate the isser, basar b'chalav. You have to actually cook the basar b'chalav together. I think in Burger King and McDonald's, they do it the real way. They mahader to be over on isser d'raisa. They put the meat, they put the cheese on the meat, and they actually use a special machine. There are special machines they have which specialize with fire of burning of the cheese on the meat. And those, by the way, those exact machines, when I went to the Ask OU seminar 100 years ago, so they actually said that many kashrus organizations, I mean, maybe Empire, they actually purchased those exact machines, the same exact machines that are sold to all these fast food trade places, Burger King's, McDonald's, and Chol HaNilvim Olav, is the perfect machine to use the kasher liver. There cannot be a better machine. It could have been better man-made, a better machine made, if they would go in there, would design from scratch a machine to kasher liver. They couldn't come up with a better machine than what they have already available to make a cheeseburger. Because they put the liver on these, I don't know exactly how it works, and the fire shoots out in a certain way. And in order to kasher liver, you have to roast. You have to roast it. The only way to kasher liver is over an open fire. And the nature of the size and texture of liver, it happens to work out perfectly to use these machines and devices that have been created to make cheeseburgers. And that's what they use in Empire and all these other companies. These they showed us.
They don't
these.
Have open fire.
It is an open fire. That's exactly the point. But when you have to go do it an enormous amount of it very quickly and efficiently in order to maximize profits, well, you need a certain type of machine. Okay, if you're producing an enormous amount of liver. The liver to provide, Rabbi Malevsky certainly knows about this a lot better than me. You need to produce an enormous amount of liver for all the chopped liver, for all the kiddushim on Shabbos.
You get a liver from an animal that you get is 20 pounds. Give or take a pound, but it's 20 pounds of liver.
And the way you kasher liver is over an open fire. A little bit of salting. It says in the Ramah, you should have a slim at a small amount of salting. These machines are actually perfectly designed for this. But that's not
important. Oversalt, they think they're doing better. And I said to the guy, now you're making it publish already.
Too much salt is no good, right? You have to be very whole science behind it. At any event, we know this is called basar b'chalav. Now, because of basar b'chalav, we have many harchokas. We have many, we don't eat. There are different minhagim. How long does a person wait between eating meat and eating milk? So there are some people, it says in the Gemara, it has to be a different, I forgot the exact words of the Gemara. I didn't really prepare this part of the shir, but we know the Gemara says something that's a little bit abstract. And there are many different opinions as to what the Gemara means. According to
Kufala from the base, the long toses, that
in
Kolobosa.
So there
are the huge toses.
All the different opinions. So some say it has to be in a different. Typically, a person eats two meals a day, Talmud Chazal, two meals a day.
That's what they called ace la'ace. That was the expression, so they assumed that's how they got the number of six.
And the two
hours.
Meals are different opinions.
Like 10 o'clock and 4 o'clock.
6 hours apart. So some are very, very machmir, they wait mamish a full 6 hours. Others are not so machmir, they wait as long as you're within this sixth hour, which would be 5 hours and 1 minute. Some wait 5 hours and 30. It is, I think it is. Within the sixth hour. Some say five.
Full 6 hours.
Full 6 hours. 5 hours and 31 minutes, 5 hours and 1 minute. Then there are the yakas, they wait 3 hours, 3 hours. And then there are some who wait even 1 hour. What? The Dutch, 1 hour. Okay, then there are those that there's another opinion that says this just can't be the same meal. Different, yeah.
But that's 1 hour, 72 minutes revenge. If not, that's...
Zman equal. So do you Zman equal, so doesn't necessarily have to do anything with Zman equal. The eating Bas B'Cholav doesn't necessarily have to have your body digest it. It has to do with the Torah. It's Harchoka. Minat Torah, you're allowed to eat Basar B'Cholav together. Together. The only thing you can't do is you can't eat Basar B'Cholav that has been cooked together.
Right.
So,
no,
I'm not...
What? If you don't eat it, you're not allowed to cook it.
Oh, so I didn't cook it. The guy cooked it.
That's it. Okay, but I'm just saying...
So talk about the eating. You're not allowed to cook it. You're not allowed to have Hanah from it. Let's say someone else cooked it and they gave it to you, and someone else cooked it. And now you want to eat it.
No.
So the Isser is only been cooked together. So this that we do not eat hot meat with a glass of milk is only in Isser Midrabanan. Midaraisa, there's no prohibition to... Oh, chicken is another level of leniency because chicken is only is not basar. I mean, according to most of the Rishonim, it's not basar. So there are many, but we are very machmir. At Kedei Kachta, we wait even the full 6 hours or 5 hours, 5.5 hours, or 5 hours and 1 minute, or 3 hours or 1 hour. All different opinions. Now here's now let's go even further. Let's say you're sitting at a table. You go to a restaurant. You go to whatever it is, and you're sitting down at home. And I am eating basar. And the person across the table at the same table, he at the same time is eating cholov, milk. Are we allowed to sit at the same table? I will eat basar and he will eat cholov at the same time at the same table. It is categorically asar. You're not allowed to sit down at the same table and you eat basar and someone else eats cholov, because it's very easy for you to come to share the food with one another. You have to make a hefsek. What kind of hefsek? Not so partial. What is it? Just because you have your mat, if I'm eating on a mat and he's eating on his mat, that's not...
I don't know the guy. I mean, if I reach into his plate, I'm going to get a whack.
You never know. Okay? So you need to make a partition. What is called the partition? You need to make a partition, a hefsek between you. You have to put something in between you to be mafsek between you and him. What is called a partition? I don't know. It's not so clear what a partition is. Let's put that out. I don't want to get into that now. That's another sugya. But generally speaking, if you're sitting at the same table, and this could happen, it happens all the time. You're sitting at the same table. One person is eating basa, one is eating cholov. You're not shulchanoch. You're not allowed to sit at the same table and you eat basa, eat cholov. No, mat is not enough. You have to have a partition. You have to have a partition, some type of, you put a tissue box. You put something, but even that's not the question. Now here's a shiloh. Rabbi Akiva Eger quotes from the Sefer called the Sefer called Gan Hamelech. Huh? Ever hear the Sefer?
Gan,
like a Gan Achayot, a garden, or you send your children to the Gan, the grandchildren to the preschool. He quotes Rabbi Kiv Eger in Shulchan Aruch. He quotes also lahalois al shulchan v'lemahani. He said that you're not allowed to have one person is boss, one is cholov. Now, what about if we'll have a person watching us? You'll hire a person,
a shomer
shabbat. You'll have a shomer. We'll go and we will appoint a person. I want you. I'm eating basa. He's eating cholov. At the same table, you just stand here and watch us. Watch us that we should not grab. We should be civil. We shouldn't grab from one another. Basa b'cholav. Are you then allowed to eat at the same table? So you would say, why not? You have a shomer. What more can you possibly want? Rabbi Kiva Eger, what?
He's going to eat from both.
Rabbi Kiva Eger quotes from the Sefer called Gan Hamelech. It is osur. It is osur. I'll read the words. Rabbi Kiva Eger says, "Lahalis basim nemer gam b'shah shehemid shomer sheyashkiach olav shloyoychal es abasim magvina." It's unbelievable. A shomer This is what it says in the Sefer. This is what it says in Shulchan Aruch, in Yeridaya. He quotes over here, Bikivego, on the page Shulchan Aruch, he quotes Gan HaMelech, even with a Shemret. So here comes the big question. The question is, why not? Why would you say that there should not be a problem? It's Meferesh HaMishnah. The Mishnah says that on Shabbos, a person is not allowed to read L'or HaNer. It's Friday night, and now dealing over here with Shemayata, they have to deal with oil, and sometimes the wick, the oil does not draw quickly from the wick, and the light is not strong enough. You're not allowed to read from a sefer with shemen, with a ner, which simply means a ner that is made from cheres, with shemen zayis, to be yate, to tilt the ner in order to bring the oil, the fuel to the ner, so it should illuminate the room better. You're not allowed to, because you may forget yourself, shema yate. And in fact, there, I think one of the Tanoim, was a Rabbeinu HaKadosh, says, that it happened to me once. It was Rebbe?
Yeah, but on that Gemara is very interesting. It says, but the Malamed Tinukos is allowed.
Because the Malamed, because he's not so serious.
No. The Yerushalmi makes it very interesting. He said, because if you're teaching kids, they can't wait for the light to go out.
Right, exactly. Right. So there are exceptions. So the question is, what about if you appoint a Shomer? If you appoint a Shomer, it is mutter.
He might put it
okay, Shulchan Aruch. It says the Beferish in Shulchan Aruch Simon Ayin Reish Hay. Really, it's Reish Ayin Reish Hay. That if a person wants Friday night Shabbos wants to read L'or HaNer, so the you want to read. What is the solution? Shemivakeish me Adam Acher sheyishmar Olav Shlo Yate Mutar Likroy L'or HaNer. Shulchan Aruch. V'im yesh acher imoy, it is mutter. V'oymer loy is the word of Shulchan Aruch. V'oymer loy, and you say to him, tein daitcha olay shaloy ete mutter. So the question all the Mefarshim ask is, what is the chilik between Basa B'cholav, Rabbi Akiva Eger, who quotes the Gan HaMelech, and Friday night of reading L'or HaNer Shema Yate? Here, a shomer is okay. Why is a shomer good for or haner, and not good for basar? And certainly, you can really compound the question, because when it comes to shemayat, it's a chiv kars. A person, chiv karban chad. A person is shemayat. That's mamash malacha deraisa. There's a chiv skill b'meisid kars chatos. No, but the nature of the sin is forget about how he did it, but the nature of the sin is a davar chomer ad moed, it's chil Shabbos, which chil Shabbos is a schiv misa. Whereas basa b'cholof, even if a person would eat mamish basa cooked in cholof, he's only over loisa say. There's no chiv karis for eating basa b'cholof. What? Mitamtem halev, no such thing. You don't say mitamtem halev. First of all, who says this timtem halev when it comes to basar b'chalav? Basar is mutter, chalav is mutter. This is a very big Torah sugya. Where exactly do you say timtem halev? People get all worked up that if they discover that their favorite restaurant was really serving them treif, or their favorite store where they bought their whatever was really treif, where they bought chicken. All the years, the person was a scandal that they were serving treif. Now you have to go kashrul yipatz. Oh, what about timtum halev? A lot of poskim say, don't get so carried away with timtum halev. Timtum halev is a Kabbalistic concept, and it's not so poshut where you say timtum halev. Timtum halev is not necessarily in every type of food, and not in every situation. And basar b'cholav, right away off the bat, the basar is kosher, the cholav is kosher. If you eat it at separate points in time, it anyway ends up in your stomach all mixed together. So who says this b'chlal, this timtum halev? You're saying Kabbalistic things, which is not necessarily even true when it comes to basar cholav. I know nothing about this, if there is timtum halev. But in the olam halacha, let's put aside Kabbalistic kinds of timtum halev. How come when it comes to basar b'cholav, which the aveira, even if it was done in the most optimal way, would at most be a lois asay? Here, certainly, you're not cooking it together. You're not eating it together. It's a question. He's eating basar, he's eating cholav. You might come eat it together. The severity of the sin is, relatively speaking, minor compared to chil Shabbos. And yet, a shomer doesn't work. Whereas when it comes to Shabbos, the Shomer works. Haloi Dover, what is going on over here? What's the pshat? So there is an answer. The answer is given by the Taz.
Maybe because it is so lenient, you won't be yourself.
Okay, so you're saying an idea. Okay, so if Dov is saying that the Chazal also chizik l'divrem yoisem midivrei Torah, you're saying it doesn't say the whole shulta over here from Rabbi Felder in Shleim Mitzion, and he doesn't say what you said at all. He has many, many pages and pages and pages going to this whole sugi at a great length, and nowhere, and I was thinking the same thing, I was mechavim to you, nowhere does he say what you just said. You gave an answer is that we find a print of the Chazal also chizik l'divrem yoisem midivrei Torah. That big when it comes to Chil Shabbos is another that's so chomor with this chiv karvus, a person naturally is terrified of doing the Avera. So even if there was no Shomer, a person would not likely would do the Avera. So now when you have a Shomer is good enough because a person by nature, it's a deraisa, it's a davar chomor. But when it comes to Bas HaBacholav, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? Bas HaBacholav, everyone knows only us and the deraisa cook it together. I'm not cooking it together. I'm eating it one after the other. It's not the same time. It shouldn't be so terrible. So therefore, a person has a tendency when it comes to a matter which is not so chomer to be very, very lenient. So therefore, also chizuk l'divreiem yoyser mishel Torah. Okay, I hear your answer. He doesn't say this answer. Sounds good to me. Okay, but he doesn't say it. However, other of the Gedolim show they mafabul with this very, very much. And they come along and they say a tremendous chiddush. And this chiddush is become a little bit of a controversy, this chiddush, because where exactly do you draw the line? This is a very big contradiction. And it's a big topic. And the answer is there's a chilik when you're being oisik in a mitzvah versus when you're not being oisik in a mitzvah. Stamazoi, when a person is sitting down at home eating basar, and your child or someone else at your dining room table is eating cholov, the kid is eating cereal and milk, and you're having a steak. You got a problem. The kid might want to take some of your basar, you might want to take some of his cereal. You got a problem. Are you being oisik in a mitzvah? Not likely. It's not mistavi dealing over here. You can tell me it's Yisud Shabbos. Most of the time when you're eating, most of the time when we eat, we're not eating a sudas mitzvah. You're eating stam. Whereas the whole sugi of Shema Yate, it's Friday night, and you want to learn. We're assuming you want to learn. That's going to be the nafkah mitzvah. If you want to read the newspaper, you want to learn. You're learning. You're oisik in Talmud Torah. Oisik in learning. But how could you be oisik in learning Torah? You may come to Yate and you'll be over in the Raisa of Havara and Shabbos. What do you want to do now? It's Friday night. What does the average person do Friday night? He reads Mishpacha magazine. No, just joking. What does he do Friday night? He reads Thursday by the Shir. FJ, you read Thursday morning at 10 o'clock here. By the time it comes Friday night, you know the FJJ Baal Peh. It's too late. Friday night, you learn some Chumash, you learn some Torah. It's a mitzvah. A mitzvah. Chazal were mekel, they allowed you to appoint a shomer. Anytime you're being oisik in a mitzvah, that opens up a special dispensation to be lenient, to allow you to appoint a shomer to guard you. You should not become to be nichshol in being shemayata. But when it comes to achila, stam achila is not a dvar mitzvah. This is the answer. You can say a lot of different answers on your own, which we will in a second. Dr. Dov gave one answer. One is the raisa, one is the rabbanan, also chizal from Yisrael Devetayra. But this answer, the chilik between a deoraisa and between a dvar mitzvah and not a dvar mitzvah. Okay, who's the one who says this answer? This answer, did I say it correctly? It is from the Taz. Okay, the Iker, this question, here it is over here, and we give some examples over here. Okay, who says the answer? One second. I think it's the Taz. Let's hold off for one second. Who says the answer? Maybe Yachanim is a halacha. He's going over here. Okay. Now let's just add to the equation before we get to all the names straight. Let me just add, let me try to confuse you a little bit more. This halacha is found one more time in Shulchan Aruch. There's three places this halacha applies, and that is by Shechita. Shechita. What's the case of Shechita? A person shechs an animal and he has a chalaf, a special knife. Before you do the Shechita, you have to check the knife. You have to check the knife. Right? That's the halacha. You take a knife for the very first time, you have to make sure the knife is sharp, there are no nicks, it should not be a trefa Shechita. You know what? It's a very big tircha for me to check the knife now. I don't want to check the knife now. To check the knife the real way, it's a very big tircha. So you know what? You know what? Let me shech the animal now. And then after I do the shechita, I'll check the knife. And if it turns out that the knife is good, then I'll know it was a good shechita and I'll eat it. And if it turns out that the knife is no good, so I'll give the animal to a goy. Anyway, I'm going to sell some of the meat to the guy, so I'll give the animal to the guy. So let me do an act of shechita with a knife that is not yet been checked. And after the shechita is done, I'll check the knife. It is osur, categorically forbidden to do such a thing. This is what it says in Shulchan Aruch. What about tashchis? No about tashchis. I'm anyway going to give the meat to a guy. Whatever the case, this is what a heichet him. So you have to, whatever. There's nothing about tashkas. You're getting money. You're gonna get a good money. The guy wants to buy. Make believe the cases where the guy wants to pay you good money. You'll make even more money giving it to the guy than going buying your own kosher meat. Okay, so man of shach. If the knife is not kosher, I'll sell it to the guy and I'll be very happy. I'll make a lot of money. And if the knife is kosher, so you know what, I'll take it home for dinner tonight, and I won't be so happy. So, are you allowed to do this? It says in Yerideya, you're not allowed to do this. It is osur to do this because we don't trust you. You're going to shecht it. And by the way, how can you make a bracha? I mean, how about a bracha? I guess you have to say the case is where you already made a bracha. Otherwise, how do you do this, right? You have to make a bracha when you do a ma'aseh shechita. You can't go make a bracha if the knife is not kosher. How do you make the bracha, right? How do you do the bracha? So I guess the case going where you had many knives and you already made a bracha, you did already shechita and you made a bracha on another knife, on another animal, and then someone took away your knife and now you need to take another knife, but you already made a bracha. So I'm over here, he doesn't deal with... Yeah, but I'm asking a side question. When you do a shechita, you need to make a bracha. If you have not yet checked your knife, so you can't make a bracha. Because if you're coming in for the very first time, maybe the knife is not kosher.
Maybe the animal's not kosher.
What? No, you go bus arrive. The animal being kosher, you go bus arrive. No. No. You have a chazaka, so you want to say on making. Okay, maybe you're right. I don't know. Let's put aside the bracha shiloh on the knife. That's another issue. Put aside the bracha. Let's just talk about doing the shechita. So it says in shechita, you're not going to go do so. Question. You know what? I'll appoint a shomer. I'll make a shomer. I'll ask someone to remind me, did you check the knife or not? The halacha is osur. You're not, it's just like basa b'cholav. You're not, just like when you sit down to a meal of basa b'cholav, I'm eating basa and he's eating on the same table, and there's no partition between the two of us, and we're eating at the same table. Rabbi Chivega says that it's going to be osur, even if you go appoint a shomer, so too, if I want to do an act of shechita, and I don't want to check the knife, I'll check it later. And if it turns out that it's not kosher, the knife's not kosher, I'll give it to a goy, if not, I'll keep it myself. And I'll appoint a shomer. I'll hire someone to remind me to check the knife. It's no good. You're not allowed to do it. It doesn't work. So again, the same exact question. Why is this different in the case of what it says, Beferush in Shulchan Aruch, Friday night, you want to learn L'or HaNer, and you're afraid Shema Yata, you can appoint a Shomer, and the Shomer will protect you from being Nichshol in Shema Yata. What is the difference? So the difference is very simple. Shechita is not a mitzvah. Shechita is a mitzvah chiyuvis. In the event that you want to eat meat, So the only way you can eat meat is through shechita. There's no mitzvah be'etzem to do an act of shechita, even though on shechita you make a bracha. The classic sugya of shechita. Shechita is not a mitzvah per se, like shaking a lulav and eshek. Shechita is not a mitzvah like Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah and lulav and eshek is called the mitzvah chiyuvis. You have a mitzvah kiyumis, to be mekayim the mitzvah. You have an obligation to learn Torah. You have an obligation to shake a lulav and an eshek. Shechita is a mitzvah, but it's not called a mitzvah kiyum, it's a mitzvah chiyuvis. In the event that you so decide you want to eat for lunch basar, so you just can't take a bite out of a living animal, so the Torah told you, this is the way you do it, you do an act of shechita. That does not make the act of shechita into a full-fledged mitzvah. Therefore, the answer holds up very well. In the case, when it comes to the shechita, and when it comes to basar b'chalav, there's no mitzvah to eat basar or chalav. There's no mitzvah to do an act of shechita. Therefore, a shomer does not help. But when it comes to a mitzvah of Friday night, and I want to learn, that's a mitzvah kiyumis, then Chazal were lenient and allowed you to use a shomer. Now, we got a problem, though. There is another example of a shomer. And that is, we utilize this every single day. When the Zman Kriya Shema arrives, are you allowed to engage in any activity whatsoever? Once it becomes Seis Sakacham, today, when exactly is Seis Sakacham today? Let's say 6 o'clock, 6:15, 5:25 is sunset. 5:25 is sunset. So then whatever it is, Seis Sakacham, it's now the Zman Laila, the Zman Kriya Shema. So are you allowed now? It's 6 o'clock, 6:30. Let's have dinner. Let's go to a restaurant, or let's go to a shir. So what is the concern? What are you doing? You're going to go to dinner now. You're going to get involved in the dinner. You're going to relish the food. And before you turn around, it's going to be 2 o'clock in the morning, and you're going to fall asleep, and you're never going to have recited Kriya Shema. If you're going to go to a shir, you're going to get all worked up in the shir, you're going to get carried away, you're going to be involved in the shir the whole night, or you're going to fall asleep, you're not going to say Kriya Shema. Why is it that we engage in activities in the evening after the Zman Kriya Shema arrives without any concern whatsoever? So the answer is, if you appoint a shomer to remind you, it's okay. It's a-okay. If you appoint a shomer today, because we live in a world where everything's on the clock, Ma'ariv is 9 o'clock. There's a minyan for Ma'ariv at 10 o'clock. There's a minyan for Ma'ariv, there's a shir at this point on that. Because today we have schedule, everything is scheduled, it's ki'ilu, we have appointed for ourselves guardians. That's what all the poskim say. But Zman is the reason why we don't follow any of these laws of meals and activities is because since everything today is on the clock, we have a routine that's on the clock, it's equivalent to appointing for ourselves a guardian.
And if it's not on the clock?
Then you got a problem. If you're not planning to go to shul, you're right, you got a big problem. If you are not planning to go to shul, not everyone goes to shul for Ma'ariv. I'm not going to shul, it's too cold, I can't, there's no minyan, whatever it is, I'm not going, I'm going to daven Ma'ariv at home. And your wives...
I never go to that later minyan, but there is a later minyan.
Then we're very lenient. If there is a later minyan and it's on your mind that you go every night to a minyan and it's on the clock...
Not the
9
o'clock.
I don't know what to say, but generally today, because we live in a different type of structured world, where there is a Seder Hayom, it is equivalent to appointing a Shomer. That's what the Poskim say. You never heard anyone be machmir on these things.
But we have that problem by weddings.
What's problem by weddings? You sing that to a meal? Because you don't have a Seder to that, it's true. You're saying good. So you're saying that by a wedding it should be forbidden to sit down to the meal until you first have a Ma'ariv. person say, oh, you know, I'll talk to, let me schmooze with you, I haven't seen you in 10 years, let me cut, I'll find the marv later, in the middle of the dancing later, I'll find another minion for marv. So you say that since when you go home, you're not going to marv, you're not going to go out at 12 o'clock when you get home and go to Landau's, so it's either now or never.
And, you might totally
and now you want to go talk to someone, so therefore how are you going to go sit down to the meal and say, I'll dive marv later? Namruch, because since there are, since at the wedding, there's always going to be a guy coming, marv, 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 it's inevitable. It is inevitable.
How many times have you been at a wedding you missed all the Myers?
Many.
Now I gotta land now. It's at 11:30.
But today it's almost inevitable that a guy will come around and say Myriv, Myriv, Myriv. So even maybe you could also could say that it's also on the clock. But let's say a real case would be where you're not going to Myriv. You're not. There are many people that's it. You come home, a hard day's work, and that's it. You sit down. And your wife wants to serve you supper, or you want to go do something, and I'm done. I'm not walking out of the house tonight. And I have to have a marif. Are you allowed to begin to get involved in an activity that's going to take a lot of time before you dive a marif? Not so simple. You can dive in before. Why can't you dive mechidus? Why can't you? Why can you dive before? Many points even that Marv. Why can't you dive without a minion? Why can't you dive b'yichidus? It's not so poshut. The zman marv begins plag mincha, and it's mashma that in the time of the Gemara they would lechatchila, they daven early before zman kriyashma. No, without a minion, mamash without a minion. The Zman Ma'ariv is Plag Mincha. Why do you have to have a minion for Ma'ariv? I mean, we have a minion for Ma'ariv, we do that. But it's not Mukhuk, you have to have a minion for Ma'ariv. So, and the Zman is Plag Mincha. We actually spent time on this on last week. With Kriya Shema, there's a very big difference between Kriya Shema Shachris and Kriya Shema in the evening. Kriya Shema Shachris automatically coincides with davening. So the Kriya Shema is together with the Birchos Kriya Shema. But Ma'ariv, the fact is, Kriya Shema cannot be until the first Mishnah Brachos when the Kohanim Nichnasim Lechel B'Trumasa. That's a Mishnah. And yet it's also clear that the Zman Tefillah is before that. So that means that Kriya Shema is not necessarily connected to Ma'ariv, because the Zman Tefillah can be, Chazal allowed a person to daven Ma'ariv. It's not a b'di'evit. You can daven Ma'ariv, plag mincha, and you have to say Kriya Shema after it says Sakachav. It's a nice thing to put the two together, to say the Kriya Shema that you can be Yoitza, your Misu Deraisa, sandwich in the Birchais Kriya Shema, the four brachas. But if Chazal told you this is the Zman of the Haschola of Ma'ariv, and it's way before the Zman of Kriya Shema, I don't know if you say maybe it says in the Mishnah Berurah that I don't remember seeing that, but maybe it's true. In any event, are you allowed to? So the question over here is, how are you? So what do we do today? We live in a lifestyle where we basically, we're very, very lenient, and we do whatever we want to do. Whatever you want to do, everything goes, no limitation whatsoever, freedom. It's America. Can't tell someone what to do. Do whatever you want to go do. And the reason why we're not in violation of Shulchan Aruch, of saying Kriya Shema, because it's Ki'ilu we have a Shomer. Question. Didn't we just learn that we gave three examples of appointing a Shomer? The example of Basa B'Cholav, the example of Shechita, and the example of Shema Yate. In Rabbi Kiva Eger quotes, the Gan HaMelech, Basa B'Cholav, a Shomer doesn't work. When it comes to Shechita, a Shomer doesn't work. But when it comes to Shema Yate, a Shomer works. Why? Because by Shema Yate, the assumption is, what are you doing Friday night? What are you doing? I'm sitting down to learn Torah. Oh, you're doing a mitzvah? A mitzvah. You're in a religious mood. You're not going to be Yate, whatever that means, whatever, however you want to go and try to decipher the depth of why that's going to be an exception. A regular night, you have to say Kriya Shema. What do you want to do now? I want to watch the Super Bowl. I want to watch the Super Bowl. Excuse me. Is that a Dvar Mitzvah? I don't know, not really. Okay, It's a minuch. It's chaviv. Chaviv, chavivos. It's nisht a mitzvah. Not a mitzvah. Shomer. We have Ma'ariv at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. I have a shomer telling me, I have a guardian angel telling me to daven Ma'ariv. So therefore, in the meantime, I can engage in a mundane activity. I want to eat dinner. My wife wants to serve dinner. The dinner's going to get cold after either now or never. Ma'ariv, another time. We'll go to Ma'ariv another later. There's a shomer. Because the Ma'ariv is scheduled for 10 o'clock, it's ki'ilu, there's a shomer. Excuse me, what do you want to go do now? I want to eat dinner. Is the dinner you're eating tonight a su'udas mitzvah? No. So how come we have a stira to our halacha? We take basically four different examples in the world of halacha where we appoint a guardian angel. For shchita, no good. Bas b'cholav, no good. Shemayate, it's good. And kriya shma shel arvis, a mitzvah d'oraisa, make no mistake about it, it's good. So don't give me the answer, dvar mitzvah. Because if dvar mitzvah is such a good answer, why then every single night is dvar mitzvah good enough? It's not a dvar mitzvah. Every single night we have a mitzvah upon us to say kriya shma, and we ignore the mitzvah because we rely upon a shomer. We rely upon the shomer, but the shomer, but the activity that we want to engage in is a dvar rishus. So this is an easy answer, and he answers this question. I mean, it's an answer, and if you don't like the answer, is that which direction are you heading? Do we want to appoint a shomer to prevent you from doing an avera? Or are we appointing a shomer to help you do a mitzvah? Okay, there's a fundamental difference of what the purpose of the shomer is. In the case of basa b'chalav, in the case of shemayate, in the case of shchita, you're appointing a shomer to prevent you from doing an avera. If I don't have a shomer, I may come to take his basar, or may come to take his cholov at the same table. I may take the basar and cholov together. If I don't appoint a shomer, I may do the shechita, and might discover later on that the knife is not kosher. Okay, I need the shomer, because if I don't go and have a shomer, I may forget to check the knife, and I will forget, and I'll end up eating the meat, and it turns out the meat was really not kosher because the knife was not kosher. And the case of Shemayat, if I don't have a shomer, I may come to Tildener and be Mechal Shabbos Deraisa. But here, when it comes to your average day of davening Ma'ariv, the shomer is don't forget to daven Ma'ariv. If you don't daven Ma'ariv, you don't say Kriya Shema, did you do an Avera? Did you do an Avera? Not really. I didn't do an Avera. I just didn't do a mitzvah. I was mevatel a mitzvah saseh. It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing if a person fails to recite Kriya Shema, if a person fails to daven Ma'ariv, he didn't do an Avera. He just did not do a mitzvah. So there's a fundamental difference between the three cases that we have presented and this case. So the answer still stand strong. There's a chilek between a mitzvah, appointing a shomer. We allow you to appoint a shomer when the activity you are engaged in is a mitzvah, versus when the reason why you're appointing a shomer is to make sure is a dvar rishus. And don't challenge me from the case that we make use of every single night where we basically have a shomer to make sure that we daven ma'ariv, because the shomer that we're using to daven ma'ariv is a shomer to remind us to do a mitzvah, not to prevent us of doing an avera. When you have to be on guard not to do an avera, you need much more protection than appointing a shomer to remind you to do a mitzvah. We always point out there are more mitzvahs lois asei than asei. There are 365 lois aseis and only 248 mitzvahs asei. The Torah puts a much greater emphasis on what you're not supposed to do than what you are supposed to do. Therefore, when it comes to a shomer, the Torah will much more machmer to make sure we don't do the wrong thing, then we're more lenient in allowing a shomer to help us, to remind us to do the correct thing. Okay, so this answer is an answer. Now, there are other answers to this question. Other answer you can say is, there's a very big difference between something that you do occasionally to something that you do every single day. Okay, davening Ma'ariv and saying Kriya Shema, you do every single day. Bas B'cholav, you don't do every single day. Okay, a Shechita, you don't do every single day. Shemayata, you do once a week. So when you're dealing with things that are happening, that you do occasionally, then you might get into trouble. Because you'll totally forget yourself. But when it comes to, please remind me to daven Ma'ariv. Listen, you daven Ma'ariv yesterday, before, it's strange. Your mind is trained and programmed to say Kriya Shema and to daven Ma'ariv every single night. So, you make it carried away in your activity? Okay, so make a shomer. The degree of shemira you need to protect yourself from an activity that you do every single day is much less than the degree of protection you need to protect yourself with something which you never do, and you can very easily come to make a big mistake. You're sitting at the table. What are you eating? Delicious. You'll forget yourself. You go and you'll go. It's natural. A person is always nimshach after food. And it's not something you do every single day to train yourself like this. So that will be another answer to answer this question. Now, what will be a nafkamina? If this answer does really hold up well, a nafkamina would be what? Would be, let's say it's Friday night, and I want to read a novel. I want to read a book. I want to read the Wall Street Journal. FJ is Torah. What are you talking about? FJJ is Mamish Misina. How could you insult the FJJ? It's Mamish. Mezuzas. Unbelievable. Now, don't get me started, Rabbi Yisai. The mezuzas. Okay? So according to this, it would come out that Friday night, if you want to engage in reading material that is not, cannot be considered Torah, you got a problem. You're not allowed. Then ein achinami would be forbidden. Let's say the meat. What? By candlelight, right.
Not candlelight, by oil lit,
right? We have to talk about the real deal. And let's say you want to read a novel by oil light, shemen zayis with a kli cheres that you have to imam shemayate the real way. Indeed, lenafkamin, it would be osur. Let's say you're dealing with a shayla basa b'chalav. We're having a su'udas mitzvah. It's a su'udas mitzvah. I'm eating meat from a bris or from a chleis, from a simch. Someone brings me food from a su'udas mitzvah. Whatever it is, you have a su'udas mitzvah. Oh, so then we should apply the same dispensation. This should be. That's what would come out if we take this answer to an extreme. The problem is the Mishnah Berurah doesn't differentiate. Okay, there's a whole sugi about this, and the deacon of Mishnah Berurah back and forth, and it appears that the Mishnah Berurah does not differentiate, and Shema Yate, a Shoyme works even if you want to read something that is not a Dvar Mitzvah. Really, it's really, I tell you, the proof comes from the Rambam, it's Mashal, because the Rambam, a lot of the Yukim, which is a little bit too complicated for my little head, but here is the a lot of the proofs to this sugi, this answer back and forth, the correct, not correct, comes from a second halacha that says in Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to, I don't know if it was this, de-lice your clothing on Shabbos Lor Haner. What does it mean to de-lice? To take out the lice, like to deplane. Ever hear that word? To deplane. It's a new word. To deplane. Okay, to de-lice. You have a garment, and it was very common in times of Chazal where the garment was infested with these little creepy crawlers that you can barely see, and you pull out the lice. Why is that on a shayla of you see, it's Rabbi Belsky goes to show. Rabbi Belsky would say boirer is the most misunderstood halacha in Hilchas Shabbos. People, they come up with people come up with all these different situations where they tell you can't do this, it's Boyer, they have all these books, Boyer. And Rybelski says, no, this is not Boyer. You can't play Scrabble on Shabbos because it's Boyer, you can't do that. No. Boyer, he held, was the most misunderstood halacha in Hilchos Shabbos. And says in Shulchan Aruch that you are allowed to take out the lice. You are allowed, you have a garment, you're allowed to take out the lice. It's not called Boyer, even though the lice is psoilus, right? Whatever it is. You're allowed to do it. However, you're not allowed to do it le'or haner. You're not allowed to. But it says, but if someone else is doing it with you, it's mutter. If someone else is doing it, so there you have to. Oh, but taking out lice is never a mitzvah. There's no hechatimsa of taking out lice from a garment that you can consider it to be an etzem. Learning Torah is be'etzem a mitzvah. But delicing cannot be called a mitzvah.
It's
all right, so this answer that we've given is still a bit controversial. I didn't prepare to go through the he has a lot of interesting things about Mishnah Berurah, Shulchan Aruch, the bottom line, but at least I wanted to open up. I want to finish up with something very cute. At least 5 minutes for that. Let's just want to review what we did today. I at least wanted to open up this sugya. It was very interesting to me, this sugya, the sugya of a shomer. A shomer. You appoint a person in the world of halacha. There are situations we just scratched the surface. There are probably many more situations of where in Shulchan Aruch, where you're getting involved in an actil. What? I don't remember. I don't think it's not a. I don't remember. Only if it's annoying you, it's sakana. Right. Correct. It's not near Leinayim, even though we know it to be no such thing. But Chazal follow near Leinayim. Let's review the sugya. The basic sugya is in Shulchan Aruch and Halacha. There are many times. Let's review very quickly in Mamash. Review to take away something. In Halacha and Shulchan Aruch, there are many situations where a person is getting involved in a situation that can lead to an Avera. And you need a Shomer. You need a guardian to protect you from doing the Avera. We've only given four examples, and there are probably a lot more. Four, the Shas of Yichud. You have a Shomer. What exactly happens when you have Yichud? How is it then of a shomer, or is it, that's a different story? But there are four different examples we discussed today. Number one, basar b'cholav. A shomer does not work. Number two, classic halacha, shemayate. It says in Shulchan Aruch explicitly, a shomer is good to protect you from doing an avera. And in Shulchan Aruch it talks about shchita. I have a knife, and the knife has not been checked. I want to do a shchita. And we'll check the knife afterwards, and that will determine if the meat was kosher retroactively. It does not work. On the other hand, all the Paiskim say, even though it is not in Shulchan Aruch, but all the Paiskim say that today, the reason why we're lenient to engage in many activities that would seemingly be forbidden based on what it says in Shulchan Aruch is because it's ki'ilu, we have a shomer. If you appoint a person to remind you to do something, it's ki'ilu, especially when it comes to kriyashma, and Ma'ariv, it's as if, because of our schedule, everything is scheduled, it's as if we have a Shomer. So a Shomer does work. So what is the chilek? So we've said over a couple of Yisoidas. One chilek is, what activity are you engaging in? If the activity you want to engage in is a mitzvah, then we can be lenient and the Shomer is going to help. If the activity you want to engage in is not a mitzvah, then a shomer is not going to help. This answer holds up pretty good, except for the case of davening, and that we easily gave an answer, because there the shomer is not to prevent you from doing a mitzvah, it's a reminder to do, not to prevent you from doing an avera, but it's to do a mitzvah. And then we gave the answer of Dov's answer, is that sometimes when something is very kal, it's a very lightweight thing in people's eyes, then also Chazal Chizuk L'Divrei Yoyse Mishal Torah. And then there's another basic answer is that you have to judge every case on its own merit. Every situation is really different. When it comes to davening Ma'ariv, what are the chances you're going to forget to daven Ma'ariv? Very, very little. Because you daven Ma'ariv every single night. That's how your brain is programmed and wired. You've been doing this your whole life. You're going to say Kriya Shema. The Me'ele Shomer is good. When it comes to Basam Chal, food! food, a person is lot after food. It can happen when it comes to shechita. I want to eat. I'm hungry. Hey, it was a kosher shechita. Okay, when it comes to eating, when it comes to food, a person can easily get carried away. His mind can play games on him. Every situation you have to judge differently. The nafkamina between these answers would be what would happen if indeed you're doing something l'shem mitzvah or not l'shem mitzvah. If Friday night you want to read a book, you want to read something interesting, whatever what appeals to you, and it's not a dvar mitzvah, and it's shema yateh, maybe in this case taka shomer is not going to help. You may just couldn't care less. You'll do whatever you want to go. Who's watching the shomer? The shomer is watching you. But who's watching the shomer? Mark, who's watching the shomer? Is that the way it always goes? And maybe what happens if in the other case with Shulchan Aruch said that it's forbidden? Let's say you're doing a dvar mitzvah, so maybe taka, then a shomer would work. If the type of with doing a ma'isa shechita, it's for a sudas mitzvah, so maybe then a shomer would work. This is tzarech in gadol. I think from the Mishnah Berurah it's mashma that it's set in place where loy plug. When it comes to shema yate, a shomer always works, even a dvar chol. And when it comes to these other examples, a shomer will never work. When it comes to basa b'cholav, and when it comes to What was the other case? Does not work. Okay, I want to do something very, very cute. Something very, very cute. This is like an Elusha thing. Not Elusha. It's a cute little thing. He ends off here with this little story. There was a person. His name was Rav Zalman Mivilna. Okay. Rav Zalman Mivilna. He came there to a shul. He was a guest. I don't know whatever the story was. And he asked someone, I want to be Maver Sedra. Shnaya Mikra V'yecha Targum. Is there a chumash in the shul here? Is there a chumash here? So someone comes, he goes and rings him a chumash. And this is a cute little thing. Don't take this literally. And someone brings him a chumash. So he says, "Whose chumash is this? Is it a shul chumash or is this a? It's a private chumash. I basically stole it. It's a private chumash on the table. I found it's a private someone's private chumash. So he says, "Oh, whew. Baruch Hashem, I had enough seichel to not trust you. Normally when you go to shul and someone gives you a chumash, you think it's a shul, right? You think it's a shul chumash. Baruch Hashem, Hashem gave me the das to ask you if it's a shul chumash or a private chumash. Because if you would not have told me that it is a shul chumash, if you would not have told me that it's a private chumash, and I would have assumed that it is a shul chumash, I would have been in violation of three averos. Now, these are not really three averos. So what are you talking about? The guy who gave him the chumash, a very big Talmud Chacham. What three averos? What did I do? What did I pass? It's very good. It very fits into the parish because the parish you also have Ashavas Haveda. Is Ashavas Haveda the parish as Mishpatim? I don't remember. Okay. Hashavas Haveda.
Yeah, of course.
Hashavas Haveda. This week's parasha. Hashavas Haveda. So it fits into this parasha as a very, 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 very good thing for this week's parasha. Why? So he says this because there's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. It's a Gemara. Now we have to appreciate it doesn't apply today because that's why this whole thing is not halacha l'maisa. But in ancient times, books were very different than they are today. Books were written on parchment or papyrus, whatever you call it, ink, whatever. Papyrus, ink, whatever it is, things were very, very delicate. But it's a Goldilocks. If you find a book in the time of Chazal, it's not proper not to read it because it needs maintenance, it needs avir. If you find a sefer, and you have to announce it in the Shalosh Regalim. So let's say it's only Purim. You have to wait until Pesach to go bring it up to Yerushalayim, to that special place where they announce all of the lost objects, the lost and found. It's delicate. A book is delicate. So to take the book and open it up and read it thoroughly, you're going to ruin it. You have no right. If you find the mitzia in this book, you're not allowed to go. It says in the halacha, you're not allowed to read it. The words of the Gemara are, it is asur to shana il. Basically, how we do the Gemara? Read the Shulchan Aruch. Matzah svarim lo yikre parsha v'yishne. Don't read it a second time. V'lo yitargim. It's basically shnayim mikra v'yecho targum. Don't read it the second time and don't read the targum. It's a play on the words, but that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. If you find the mitzvah of a new book lying in the street, lo yishne, lo yikre v'yishne. Don't read it a second time. V'lo yitargim. Don't analyze the words in depth, because by doing so, you're going to ruin it. Books were very, very delicate. But you should read it once, because by reading it once, you will air it out. A book needs to be aired. Like people take the old car from 100 years ago in the garage, they take it around the block once. Okay, you gotta get the engine going a little bit so that the car won't rot. You gotta turn on the engine once in a while. So read it, but don't read it a second time, and don't read the targum, meaning don't analyze it, because too much, you have no right. It's a mitzia. But once, you're mechuyev, because it is a, because you have to do maintenance until, that's the proper thing to do, to take care of it until you return it to its rightful owner. So he said, here we are. I'm in shul now. There's candlelight in the shul. If I'm going to read from the Chumash, there's a concern, Shemayate. I may tilt the Nair. So what is the solution? The solution is that you're my Shomer. You're going to watch me, because you brought me the Chumash. You're going to watch me that I should not tilt the Nair. But guess what? That halacha only applies if you're doing a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah deraisa of Talmud Torah. But if this chumash doesn't belong to the shul, so first of all, I'm not allowed to read it a second time, because it's going to damage it. And I'm not allowed to be mitargame, because I'm going to damage it. I'm only allowed to read it once. But in this instance, I'm reading it once, kineged the Or Haner. And a shomer works, provided that you're doing a l'shem mitzvah. But here, preserving a mitzvah is not in the category of mitzvah, like shechita. Shechita is also a mitzvah. But it's not a mitzvah, kiyumis. The mitzvah, shalas aveda, is to return the aveda. Until you return the aveda, you have to take care of it. It's not the main mitzvah. So, If you told me that it was if it would have been a shul chumash, so then I would engage in shnayim mikra v'echod targum, which is certainly a high quality mitzvah. Oh, what about shemayate? You're right here. You're going to guard me. You're the shomer. But now that this is not a shul chumash, this is a private chumash. So if it's a private chumash, it's like a mitzia. If it's a mitzia, what I'm going to read, it's not called a mitzvah. I can't say that I'm doing a mitzvah of shnai mikav yachatag. The reason why I'm reading from it, maybe I should read more carefully, I'm reading from it in order to do maintenance. It should not wither away. That's not the etzem mitzvah of Hashavas Haveda. If it's not the etzem mitzvah of Hashavas Haveda, there's a concern of Shemayate. Oh, I have a shomer. No, a shomer only works when you're doing an etzem hamitzvah, not when you're just going through the pages in order to give it some air. And I certainly have no right to read it, to do the second reading, and certainly have no right to do the Targum. So it's a cute little story which illustrates almost everything that we have said, with everything in the entire shiur. Comes to shul, he says, oh, I want to be mekayem the mitzvah deraisa of Steinmeier, the mitzvah of Steinmeier Targum. Torah, Talmud Torah. Oh, but it's candlelight. Shemayata, v'shomer. I have a shomer. So there's no shemayata, and I'm going to do mishnayim v'kvira targum. But now that I discover that this is not a shul chomish, this is a mitzia. It's a private person, so it's like this is a cute thing. It's a mitzia. Oh, it's a mitzia. What does it say in Shulchan Aruch? If you find the mitzia safer in the street, so you have to return it to return. You have to wait until the time comes to bring it to Yerushalayim to return. In the meantime, you have to provide basic maintenance, and it should not get wear away. So what do? Just glance through the pages. Go to the pages to air it out, and don't read it a second time, and don't analyze it. That's like a code word. You can read it once, but don't do shnaya mikra v'yecha targum. So here it's a mitzvah. So I can't be mekayem the mitzvah. It's not mine. I have no rishus to go use this. Only thing I can do with this is air it out. Airing it out, is that called a mitzvah? Not really. That's not a significant mitzvah where I can rely, because in this case, the shemayate. Oh, I have a guardian? No, we learned today the only time a guardian works when you mekayem a real mitzvah. Now today, I told you, this whole thing is totally lala maisa. It's not a real mitzvah. So therefore, shemayata. And certainly I have no right even to read it a second time and to be mitargame it. So this maisa of Zalman Mivilna illustrates, it's a cute little play on the words of Motz Mitzia. What it says in Shulchan, it's very interesting, is that what it says in Shulchan, if you find the mitzia, a sefer, so you can't do, basically, it's not what it means, literally. It means shnayim mikav yecha targum. That's not really what it means in Shulchan Aruch. It means don't analyze, don't rub on it and go like this on it. But it's a play on the word of don't do shnayim mikav yecha targum. Here we combine to the prohibition of shemayat. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, thank you for coming. Have a good day. Amen. Amen. Amen.